Well, we continue in Hebrews. We finish up the faith chapter. We jump into chapter 12, at least the first couple of verses. And the word that leapt out at me as much as any other was perseverance. And perseverance is an interesting word in many ways. No, I didn't look up the etymology. I suppose I could have, but it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. What are we talking about when we're talking about perseverance? Or sometimes we're talking about grit. I'm talking about keeping going. Why? Why should we keep going? Lots of things we stop because they're hard. Well, some of them we should. It's hard to keep hitting yourself in the head with a rock. So you should stop. The fact that something's hard doesn't mean we continue no matter what. But also, the fact that something's hard doesn't mean we stop just because it's hard. So what keeps us going? Well, I was looking at this list of people who kept going, some of whom got to where they were supposed to be. Like, think of the people of Israel. They did make it into the promised land. Others who didn't, it says right in the text. Some of them continued going on and never received the reward that they were expecting and that they were promised and that would eventually be theirs. So what do we do with those? Well, I've never gone to the promised land. Well, I guess I moved back to Regina. That's as close as it gets. Leaving behind the flesh pots and evil of Vancouver, if you will. We look at this list and we think, well, we don't do any of these things. So perseverance, does anything in here fit with us? Well, of course it does. Because we need to think of something we persevere with. And when we think of that, so maybe sometimes we'll run across, there's even a television show about a world's worst jobs. And we think of some of these things that are extremely hard to do. Being a miner, for example, is still one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. And going underground and digging stuff up, it's hard. It's dangerous. Think of emergency room physicians and nurses. Challenging job. Hardly ever get out when your shift is over because you're in the middle of doing something critical. It's highly stressful. It causes all kinds of problems. These are hard jobs. Well, I don't have any of those jobs, but as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, there is a job that many of us here have had that I'll put up against really any of those, and that's, well, that's having kids. Possibly the hardest job you'll ever have. Because among other things, it never really quits. Even when they get older and they move out, they're still your kids. There's still something going on. It's hard raising kids, even so-called normal good ones, if such a child exists. I don't know. Every kid's got their own challenges at various ages. Why do we keep going? We persevere. We persevere. What do we need to persevere? Well, there's some things that we can pull out of Hebrews that I think give us some idea. And I suspect as we're thinking about these, you may see some of them or remember some of them taking place in your own life, whether it was around kids or finishing a graduate degree. There's something else that requires perseverance. Because really, grad school is terrible. Undergrad school, that's just kind of fun. Grad school is just work. Work, work, and more work. Whatever it might be for you. What do we need to persevere? Well, the first thing we need, among many, this isn't really a ranked list, but let's just sort of grab out some. We need cheerleaders. We need people who tell us to keep going. Not threaten us to keep going, but encourage us to keep going. And I pull that from that great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by these people who have gone on before, by those whose rest is won, as the hymn puts it, who want us to do well. Now, they're not as visible as some of the cheerleaders I've had as I've made my way through life, because I have had them. They haven't been dressed in cheerleader costumes. They've been dressed like my mother. To the day she died, the single biggest cheerleader I had. Even in the midst of some monumental stupidity, which she didn't say was anything other than what it was, she still said, "You can do it. You can do more than you think you can. You can be these things that you want to do. You can be better." All of these things. We need cheerleaders. We need people on the outside who speak the truth into our lives that we can continue. Because the time will come in anything that's hard when you just want to quit. And it's not like hitting your head with a rock. It's like raising a child. It's like learning a new task. It's like starting a new job. It's like going back to school in the middle years of your life. It's like starting school in a new country. There are going to be times you just want to quit. It's really helpful when somebody says, you can do it. Those are some of the strongest, most powerful words in the English language. When they come from someone that we respect, someone who knows, someone who isn't telling you that, yes, you can fly without an airplane. They're telling you about things that they can see within you are possible. You can do it. There were times in my undergraduate degree even, which admittedly was far more fun than a master's, but still, there were times when I just wanted to quit. And the cheerleaders I had, because by that time my mother was no longer with us, some of my faculty members, some of my professors, who said, you know, you can do this. The time you're going through is difficult. This is hard. We're not saying it's easy. We're not saying you're making something up. But we're saying even in the midst of this, you can do it. And I did. And I think they had a lot to do with it. And part of what they do is something else that's important in persevering, is we believe we can finish. Maybe not at that exact moment, but we have this understanding that we can accomplish what it is that we can accomplish. Maybe not as perfectly as we'd like, or maybe not in the way we'd like, but we need to have at some level, at some part of our being, a belief that we can actually finish. These things about believing we can actually finish go back into Hebrews 11. Faith. We believe we can finish, not because we can easily see the finish line, because sometimes we can't. Not because we can easily see how, because sometimes we can't. But because we have the faith that we can. And sometimes that faith is strengthened by the cheerleaders, the people around us. But when we look at the kinds of things that God has called us to, we believe that we can do them because we have faith in the one who called us. And he has faith in us that we can. We believe we can finish, even if we don't want to, even if it's hard. I have never run a marathon, and I hope to keep that streak alive for the rest of my life. But I know people who have. And there comes a time for most people when they're running a marathon where they need to hang on to the belief that they can finish. Apparently, it's right around mile 20 for a lot of people. You know, not at the beginning, not really near the end, and not in the middle, it's past the middle. You're in the middle of the second half, more or less, and you're just sitting right around there, and they're thinking, I can't do this. I just want to quit. This is hard. Running a marathon is a lot like trying to kill yourself by running, according to some people. It's not fun. It's hard to do. It's painful while you're doing it. It's sort of suffering, maybe for a good cause. Right around that point, the thing that keeps you going isn't the delight of what you're doing, because there is none. It's not all that's behind you, because you don't care about any of that. It's this belief that says, I can finish. The training I have done, the work I have put in, means I can finish. And that's what gets you through. A belief that you can reach the goal, whatever it is. Raising children is an enormous amount of work, and it's terribly hard on your mental health because you don't get really good instructions. Or any instructions. You just get this life you're responsible for, or maybe two at a time. And there are times when you are going to think, I can't do this. What keeps you going? A belief that, yes, you can, because the end is worth it. Not because you're going to do it perfectly, because you most certainly will not. You keep going because you need to, because if you don't, no one else will. The only thing that is going to get these kids where they need to be, whatever that is you. Cheerleaders are very helpful then. Parents, other, like your own parents, other parents, especially those who have kids a little bit past yours, like they're a little bit older, so they can still easily remember what it was like when their kids were like yours are, but made it through. And you believe you can keep going, even when you don't want to or when you don't imagine how. Because in many ways, even if you don't know what the finish line even looks like, you often do know what you need to do next. Most of us would like to have a well laid out path from wherever we're going to wherever we're going to get. Wouldn't we? I mean, that's what Google Maps is all about. That's what Apple Maps is trying to do, as opposed to leaving you in the middle of the Australian desert, as they did a few too many times. We want to know all of it, but sometimes we don't. But just about all the time. I'm not going to say all the time, because who knows, but just about all the time, we have some idea of what to do next. We don't know if it will take us all the way, but we know what needs to happen next. And to go back to the thing with kids, we often don't know how to make our kids turn out well, but often we know that they really need a nap. They need something to eat. They need a snack. They need to not watch television and read a book with you, or maybe they need to watch television, or maybe they need a hug, whatever it is. We often know what we need to do next, and we get hung up sometimes on thinking, well, that's not enough. What comes after that? Well, the problem is it doesn't matter what comes after that if we don't do what comes next. It's like worrying about how you're going to pick the apples from the top of the tree when you haven't planted the tree yet. I do that very well, by the way. I'm forever worried about things that I'm kind of stuck waiting for. Well, one of the things that we do, we throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. We dump the stuff we don't need that's getting in the way. This is hard for a lot of us, because we're not talking about, you know, emptying your pockets so you're lighter. We're talking about taking a close and critical look at the expectations that we have about ourselves and saying, which of these do I really need? My counseling professor used to say that one of the most interesting things is if you talk to anybody, but especially to people of faith, and ask them what they should do, you will realize that it would take two or three excellent people to accomplish what they think they should do. She said, if you don't think this is the case, go ask yourself that question. Look in the mirror and say, what is it that I should do? And then actually write them down. And for most of us, we'll realize that we have come up with an impossible list. Well, it's paralyzing. It's exhausting trying to meet expectations that are more than you can and often that are more than even possible. Get rid of them. Throw them away. Throw off everything that hinders. If you want to finish the race, don't keep picking up stuff along the way. You ever seen what people look like when they finish a marathon? They're not carrying much. Most of them look like if they thought they'd get away with it, they'd take their clothes off to be lighter just to get to the end. Get rid of the things that hinder, that get in the way. That's how we persevere. Part of perseverance isn't just to keep moving forward. It's looking at what's around us and what can we get rid of? What do we need to deal with? That's hard too. Hardly any of us pick up worthless things that we think are worthless. No, these are good things. These are good ideas. They're good expectations. It's just they're too much. And they're more than what we need to get to where we actually want to go. There's nothing wrong with a really good laptop. But carrying one while you're running a marathon is dumb. There's nothing wrong with wanting you to be the best parent you can be. But suggesting that to be the best parent you can be, you can never make a mistake, is a paralyzing expectation. We need to get rid of those things. It's helpful if we know the end, if we know the ultimate goal we're going to. But sometimes we just don't. How do we persevere when we're just going and we're not quite sure? Well, this is where it leaves the world of the marathon race behind, because that's usually pretty clear. You always know where the finish line is. It's further than you want it to be, but you know where it is. But for the things that we're called to do, for the things of faith, for the things that the author of Hebrews is talking about, we don't always know exactly what that end looks like. We don't know that it means we are called to have a church with 1,000 people. We don't know if we're called to be successful in business or successful in education or whether we're supposed to do particular concrete things all the time. Often we don't. What we do know is that we are called to be faithful to what we know. It comes back to that whole idea of knowing what to do next. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult to know which of these many good things in front of us we should choose, because those are the problematic things. I mean, none of us ever wake up in the morning and have to decide we're not going to rob a bank today. I mean, we wake up in the morning and say, do I talk to this person? Do I do this thing? What of the wide array of things we have, trying to discern what is the best one can be difficult. And that's where we go back to this whole idea of faith. Did Jeremiah know everything he was supposed to do? I don't think so. Did Jeremiah know how he was going to end? I'm pretty sure he didn't, or I don't think he would have. But Jeremiah continued, even in the midst of that end uncertainty, because he knew what he was called to do now. He knew the next step. Woe to me if I don't preach, said Jeremiah. He had things that needed to be said. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet, maybe he had an unfair advantage over the rest of us, but I suspect most of us have got a pretty good idea of what it is we need to do next. It's probably not preach. That's me. It's probably not some big, flashy thing. It's quite possible that it's a small thing that no one will know about but you and God. But that's all part of persevering, of doing what it is to get us to the next step, to continue on. In a very real sense, perseverance is about putting one foot in front of the other until you get there. Sometimes you know where there is. Sometimes you know how long it will take. Sometimes you don't. The only person who knew exactly, really, was Jesus. And that's who we look to. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did know. Jesus did know in a way that perhaps we don't, but then again, maybe not, what the end was. Because Jesus knew that at the end, resurrection would happen and he would be, in his case, reunited with God. We know that at the end, resurrection will come and we will be united with God in a new way for us. But Jesus knew that, I think, in a way that we don't. He was aware of that, and part of that was what gave him the strength to get through these things, to endure the cross. We need that same kind of endurance, not because we know exactly what's coming next, although we do know in the big picture. A loving God has promised to never leave his people alone, to never abandon us. Does it mean our lives will be as wonderful as we want them to be? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. The promises of God are usually in a much longer scale than we have and that we want. We want to know now. We want all of these things now. Especially us in the West. We want everything now. We stand in front of the microwave and tap our foot. It's one of the best pictures of what kind of people we've become. God has said it will work. God has said, in the end, it will make sense. Always, for all of us. Maybe that's the joy that we have that's set before us. So we can endure some of these things. And some of them are just to be endured. There's no joy in a cross. Endurance, perseverance, yes. We get to the other side, we look back and we say, I'm glad I'm where I am. I wish I didn't have to go through that, but that was the path I had to go through to get to here. And that's what it is. There are so many things in my past I would never have chosen that at this point I would not do without. Because the pain made me the person I am. And maybe there are other ways I could have got here, but this is how I got here. I will never rejoice in the people I've loved who have died. I will never rejoice that they're dead. Maybe that's a fault. I don't think so. But I look at what I gained through that loss that brought me to this place, that taught me things I perhaps couldn't have learned any other way, and I'm grateful for what I know. I persevered, complaining usually as I did it, but I persevered nonetheless. And so have you, all of you, to get to this place. And I don't know what you're facing next. I don't know whether you're in the middle of, well, that whole walking around with a goat skin kind of thing. I don't know if that's where you are right now. And if you are, keep going. If you look back at those times and, yeah, you wore the goat skin, but you kept going, rejoice in that. Rejoice in your perseverance. Rejoice in where you are. And keep going. Maybe that's the hallmark of the life of faith. We keep going. Amen.